Hello, everybody. Welcome to Block Bites. It's me, Corval, here with you today. Been a while since we last chatted. Happy to be here with you. Today, we've got an extra special guest. We've got Mr. Corn from Yearn, and we got Ulver here as well. So stick around, folks. It's going to be a great one. Let me see if I can kick off the intro. Oh, yeah. Block Bites short intro. All right, welcome to the stream, guys. My first time running the buttons. You know, I'm just not here, so I've got a whole bunch of stuff I can run.
You're doing a good job.
I'm hearing like a double sound.
Oh, you're hearing a double sound?
Got some kind of echo.
I'm not missing.
Oh, maybe that's just you, Ulver. Oh, is it me?
Is it
la
me?
La la?
Okay, I'll check my.
Anyway. I don't have any echoes.
Welcome, guys. I'm so happy to be here with you guys. It's been so long since I've done a Block Bites episode. It's been like a week or two. And to have someone from Yearn, Corn, dude, how you doing, dude? You look cool. I like your picture.
Thank you. My picture originally when I first started working in crypto was just half my face and then my cat. And I had that for a while. And then there's an artist who did a bunch of other like Yearn profile pick, so he did one for me and I really liked it, so going with this one now.
Nice, man. Yeah, you look strutting confidently out in the world, just like Yearn is strutting confidently out across DeFi. You know, captures a good image.
Thank you.
Ulver, how are you doing today, man? You're telling me you were globetrotting, you were all over the world this past week.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot and I'm a bit jet lagged, but I'm here now. So excited for the show. I didn't get much sleep, but it's good.
Okay. Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad you could make it. I'm glad you could be here. So let's get into it, dude. The question on everybody's mind, burning on everyone's lips right now, I think really is, dude, what is Yearn?
What is Yearn?
I kid. No, but really though, just for anyone who's not aware, Yearn, right? Yearn is one of the OG big daddies of DeFi, as I like to think.
I was surprised by your question just now. I mean, I know kind of what you're saying because Yearn started as just making vaults. Mm-hmm. They had one product. And we looked at all of the yield farms that were available in DeFi, like sources of yield. And we would go and tap into those, mostly like up-only farming governance tokens, dumping them for the underlying. Mm-hmm. And today, you know, we're doing a few different things. Like we have an audit firm. We have structured products like YCRV and YETH. We have a pretty robust marketing team now that is actually spun out into like its own company called Mom. So they're doing a lot of things.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
And, yeah, that's awesome.
And meanwhile, we've also released Vaults V3. So we're still trying to improve on the Vaults framework, kind of tweaking that model. The third version has a lot of new changes that I can go over today if that's what you guys want to hear.
That sounds really interesting, actually. I've been working a lot on the V2 vaults, but I don't know anything about the V3 vaults, so that sounds really interesting.
Let me start from the top about like who I am and what I do, though.
Yeah.
So I started working at Yearn November 2021, so like literally right at the top. Like Yearn had, what, $6 billion TVL at the time? And I had been working kind of part-time in crypto, just keeping like a really close eye on things. I had a group of like five or six crypto friends in Telegram that we all like kept in touch with for a while. And one of those people actually happened to go on. He was like an executive for like Facebook and Netflix and a couple of other companies. And he went on to go and work at Yearn full-time in crypto about a year before I did. And he was the guy who roped me into getting involved in partnership integrations and ecosystem integrations for Yearn. Before that, I was building networks and data centers for hospitals for 10 years. I worked for the largest Cisco integrator. So like Cisco networking, they sell routers, switches, security appliances, access points, software, all that stuff. And I sold like over $200 million of that stuff in my previous career. So,
oh, really? Okay. So you were like a sales guy?
I was like an IT technical seller. Yep.
Okay.
And I worked for a big tech company that had like thousands of sellers. And I was like, you know, some years I was in the top like 1% of those sellers. So if there's a most of the hospitals that I work with and that are like existing in the East Coast of the US, they all buy Cisco networking equipment. And if you were one of those IT departments there, there's a good chance that you got it from me. So that was a fun business to build over 10 years. And I was kind of nervous about resetting and
like, yeah, this starting is, this from is a very scratch. Big change.
Very big change. But, you know, it's very also very similar because
okay,
it's software. You know, I yeah. get to talk to people about software, about features, about integrations, and I get to manage those projects and make sure that there's like high customer satisfaction and make sure like there's a good customer experience, like that sort of thing. So a lot of those skills really translate into crypto well. And also in crypto, there's a lot of people who this is their first professional experience. And I think some of my own experiences and like learning from mistakes over the years and that sort of thing, it kind of stands out in crypto. And I guess especially with starting the audit firm, like I was able to get that off the ground really quickly just because of being able to deliver a good customer experience. So like a year ago, actually before that, there was one Yearn contributor, Ali, and he started Y Academy. And Y Academy in 2021, Y Academy is a quarterly block of audit education. And it's the mission is to help scale the needs of security in crypto because, you know, it's very important. A lot of vulnerabilities, especially back in the early days. And all of those people who were going through the Y Academy program were very experienced engineers from audit firms, from other projects. And they were graduating and like going to work at other audit companies or like going to work at other projects. And a year into me working at Yearn, so last year, beginning of 2023, I was like, well, we should probably give these people a place to work. I've sold tons of security services. Why not just build a business around this? So yeah. We had like 5 core resident engineers. Now today we have 12. We build over $1.5 million in the first year. So things are really up and running. We have tons of new customers and I'm really happy with that experience so far.
Yeah, so, but I see that it's a really big need for audits in this industry. And it can be hard like to get a quality audit. And like if you want it, it's going to cost a lot and it's going to take a long time and so on. So there's really like a lot of problems with getting audited. But, you know, you really have to, you know, if you want to have like good security, then you need to get audited to be serious. So it's like a really big need that you're targeting, I think, in this industry.
Yeah, and there's a lot of competition, but it's not like the IT world. In Manhattan alone, there's over 1,000 Cisco Gold partners that sell into Manhattan. And like that is a bloody industry. So I'm used to the competition. And to be honest, like there's so much demand, and like there's more than enough audits to go around to the other companies too. So,
oh yeah, for sure. And like going back to you a little bit, I'm a little bit curious. Like you, you had a good job. You were like established in your career. So like what made you feel like, you know, it's a good idea to like go for Yearn and work in this like new DeFi industry? What excited you about that? What made you interested?
That is a very good question. So COVID kind of ruined the fun, let's put it that way. So back in March 2020, there was one morning, I forget like what day it was in March, but all of a sudden, like the phone blew up and every one of my customers was like, I need 1,000 iPads. I need like all these like medical carts. I need access points. I need switches. Basically what happened is the government was like, you have to stand up these field hospitals. So the Boston Convention Center had to be 1,000 bed hospital overnight. And there was a huge rush of demand for IT equipment across the country, while also all of these companies had to only have their essential workers go and work. And what that meant is like production stopped for IT equipment. And after the big rush in 2020, all of the hardware inventory in the IT industry was depleted. So come 2021, I had a lot of big wins with customers who needed hardware, like Cisco access points and that kind of thing. And the lead times were approaching a year. And I was waking up every morning, getting calls from customers and just getting yelled at. And I did not see an end in sight. And I saw much better opportunities in crypto. I was also sick of traveling. There was a year when I took 125 flights just for work. I'm never going to do that again. I love going to conferences like twice or three times a year and meeting up with like-minded people and like having those experiences for a few days and then going home and sitting at my desk and banging on the keyboard and not traveling. I love that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'll be traveling maybe like 20 times this year. And I think, you know, that's a lot for me.
That is a lot. Is it all crypto stuff?
It's like a mix of stuff. Yeah, but a lot of crypto stuff.
Yeah. I was kind of tired of working in the, like, just my region and working with people at a global scale. It's just so much more interesting, to be honest. So yeah. I'm really glad I get to do that now.
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting industry. But did you have, like, a vision for DeFi? Did you think, like, oh, you know, this is going to be really big, or like what was your view like going into this?
Yeah, absolutely. The like permissionless and borderless nature of DeFi, that's what got me. And what really got me is using it. So I know it's difficult for people who have never used products in DeFi to understand why it's so like groundbreaking. You just have to use it. You have to jump in and then you understand. So I was already pilled, and it was just a no-brainer to get involved, especially at Yearn. I mean, I had been following Yearn since DeFi Summer. I was not able to participate in DeFi Summer or like really focus on it because I was so busy in my other job. It was a very busy summer, but I had been following it, and like the person who I had gotten recruited by to work for Yearn, I had kept in touch with him, of course, like every day. He told me what was going on and what I'd have to do. So it worked out.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Like for myself, I was working in fintech. So I was seeing like, you know, how the old banking infrastructure works. And it was really crazy to me, like how, you know, we were handling payments, you know, we every night, we would like send files to like one of the big banks, and that's like how we settled payments. And sometimes, you know, it wouldn't work. It would like break all the time, and like the bank would go down. And I looked at like the architecture of these systems, and it was like super, super complicated. And then I started using DeFi, and I was like, oh, you know, you can do this in like a few lines of code. You can like do the same thing. So then I was like, oh, wow, this is really crazy. Like, this is going to be big.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
All right. So what is it like working for Yearn? I think a lot of people are curious. They know about Yearn. But what is it like actually working for Yearn?
Well, I've worked with like thousands of engineers in the past 10 years in my previous career. And I have to say, like, the people at Yearn are in another like stratosphere of talent. They go above and beyond to like make things happen and to think creatively and solve problems. And today, Yearn is, it's like 32 full-time engineers. And then there's me, who's not an engineer. And then there's Draper, who's not an engineer, who also like works on the marketing company called Mom. And it's just very engineering heavy. And I think that pushes me to be more technical and to like try harder to understand what's going on. I'm very happy that I made the jump though. Originally, when I started working with Yearn, there were over 100 contributors. There were a lot of people. There were a lot of people that I did not interact with. But today, like, it's a tight group of people. We all know what we're doing at all times. We communicate like very frequently, all Telegram. And I just feel like we're finally hitting our stride again and finally getting to the point where we all know what each other are thinking. It makes communication better. There's no like rifts when someone doesn't know what another team is doing, and like two people are developing the same product or like doing redundant work. Like that the days of that are gone. I'm really comfortable with how things are going these days. And like also back in 2022, there were a lot of people taking breaks, like going through the previous bull market. And I totally understand why they were doing it.
Yeah.
Going through the previous bull market, like, it's mind boggling the amount of hours you got to spend in your chair in front of your computer. And like development kind of slowed down for a point in 2022. But near the end of that year and into 2023, it was all hands on deck again. And, you know, pushing products, thinking of new things to build. And that's when we started to get beyond just vaults and get into structured products like YETH and YCRV and other liquid wrappers. Yeah, we actually made a team who called YLockers, who's just focused on liquid wrappers now.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big thing now. It's going to be a big part of the industry, I think. Well, I had a similar thing, actually. I felt like a bit fatigued after the bull market. So I can understand that. But also in the bear market, it's like a great time to be building. So I think that's what you guys have been doing. You've been creating new products and you're coming out with a lot of new stuff. So it's really exciting to see what you're coming up with.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. There's this guy from Manifold Finance, Patrick, and he tweeted something funny a few days ago. Like, we're all here building in the bear market, and then you see dog with hat at $2.5 billion market cap. Like, well,
yeah,
great.
it kind of makes you lose your faith sometimes, you know, in humanity. You know, it's the stupid projects get a lot of money. Sometimes you're like a real builder. You're like, you know, why?
I know. At those moments, like, I just got to turn off my computer and like go ride my bike for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it can get really crazy, this industry. But I think, you know, in the long term, the builders are going to win because, you know, dog with hat is going to, you know, it's going to be popular for a while, but it's not going to be here in a few years, probably. Well, I hope
I don't
not.
Know, man. I think dog with hat might have some Lindy going on, but I think
I think
Geo Bowden. I think that those are the ones that are going to go to zero.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I thought Doge wasn't going to be around forever, and it became like
that's killer. A good point.
Maybe
we should all make meme coins instead. Just make something really stupid.
Hey, maybe as a side project, you know. Maybe as a hobby, maybe not as your full-time deal.
We've had some crazy ideas, but we're staying away from that stuff.
Yeah, it's a little dangerous, isn't it?
Definitely.
Reputational risk. You know, it sounds like Yearn's got a lot going on, man. I really like that because, you know, I'd always kind of... Yearn was one of the first projects I interacted with in DeFi, like just period. And I remember very clearly a Beebus was showing me, like onboarding me onto DeFi. Mm-hmm. And he took me to Yearn and I was like, what does this do? Like, I had no idea about anything. And I was like, what does this do? And he said, well, you just put, you know, your ETH that you bought here and just leave it. And I'm like, I just leave it. And he's like, yeah, just come back in like 3 years and we'll be rich, dude.
Did you know that Beebus was involved in the first Y Academy block?
I think I kind of remember that. Yeah. He told me about it and he was like, you should apply for this. And like actually, for me as well, Yearn was like my introduction to DeFi. I became a strategist for the Byte Masons, so I kind of based everything off of Yearn to begin with. So I wrote like my first project about Yearn, and I was like researching, you know, strategies and vaults and stuff. So it's really cool.
I think there were a couple of other Byte Masons that went through Y Academy too, right?
I think there were a couple of Byte Masons in there.
Justin taught me the word rehypothecation.
Oh. I love that, dude. He really loves that. He's like an Italian banker.
Yeah. We use that word a lot now. It's like in every other sentence, it's like rehypothecating.
I kind of wanted to ask too, Korn, you kept saying, so the marketing firm that spun up, it's called Mom, like mother?
Yeah, like Mom. Yep, that's it. So
that's
they,
a crypto name.
They started because, are you guys familiar with Ajna? They're a, permissionless isolated lending project in Ajna. Had an LLC and a team of people working, developing the product. And the strategy for them was to literally dissolve the company and like put it into full governance mode and not work on it. They needed a good go-to-market strategy for growth. And they awarded Yearn 6% of their Ajna token supply. And they said, go and grow this product. So Mom took on the marketing for Ajna. They took on building a front end, ajnafi.com.
Oh, cool.
And Mom today is also taking on other jobs. They do like video editing, they do art, they do social media, hosting front ends. So it's like a full service shop of 10 people now. So it started with that one customer engagement.
Oh, cool. Awesome. We're doing a similar thing in the Byte Masons. We have a marketing agency as well. I think it's kind of like a natural growth of like a DeFi organization. Like we kind of, you know, we have to market our own products and then we kind of learn like, oh, what works in the crypto world. And then it's easy to like also offer that service to other projects. So I think it's... it can be like a good business idea for a DeFi organization that has a lot of experience and understanding. So I think this is also part of the used vaults. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So part of that strategy was also to make juiced vaults. There's two flavors of Juice Vaults. One of them is actually hosted like as part of the Yearn domain, and then one of them is standalone. That's juice.app. But another thing that Mom does that I forgot to mention is Smol, S-M-O-L. It's like a collection of these little apps. One of them is Disperse. Bantag made this product called Disperse that disperses tokens a long time ago. And there's also another cool one called Dump Services. You can dump like a ton of tokens from one wallet in one transaction. And then there's another really cool one called Multisafe that they made. And it's one address across all chains for your safe. And all those are at smold.app, S-M-O-L-D.app. So that's also part of Mom.
Wow, I'm learning a lot about Yearn now.
Yeah, that Disperse app that Bantag made, that has like over $1 billion of volume since he made that. So that's a popular app.
Wow, that's really crazy.
Okay, cool.
Do you want me to talk about what Juiced is?
Yeah. Dude, we got to know what Juiced is.
Actually, you know what?
I know maybe, it looks cool.
Maybe let me talk about Vaults V2 to Vaults V3 first, because Juiced is built on Vaults V3, and I'll help explain what that's doing. So Vaults V2 was made by Yearn back in end of 2020, and V1 was just like one vault, one strategy, that's it. You can farm one thing, and that's it. And then Vaults V2 was you can have up to 20 strategies, so 20 sources of yield in one vault. So you could have a DAI vault and users deposit DAI, and that DAI farms like up to 20 different yield sources.
Yeah.
Vaults.
That's a really big thing, actually. I mean, I worked on Reaper Farm, and mm-hmm. you know, we would deploy like one new vault per day. You know, for a while, I was just like deploying new vaults, and it got really tiresome because as soon as you know whatever opportunity was down, it would be like, okay, we need to deploy something again, and it was just really annoying. So, it's much better to have a multi-strategy vault.
Yeah, definitely. It is definitely needed. And the composability has only gotten better in Vaults V3. And in Vaults V3, everything is tokenized. We use the 4626 vault standard, which actually the person who led V2, Doggy, who now started ApeWorks, they focus on Viper code. He is also a credited author of 4626. And what 4626 is a tokenized vault standard. So we can plug into different sources of yield without having to make custom adapters for those. So mm-hmm. for instance, if you're in a DAI vault and you want to tap into like Aave and Compound and like Curve or something, you need to make before 4626, you had to make an adapter for all of those. And that increased complexity for smart contract risk. That increased your time to market for development. You had to have more developers. And
It can be a lot of work.
It stacked up technical debt, which is something you definitely don't want to do at like the early stage of a product. So 4626 allows us to tap into all of those different sources of yield, and it also enables each strategy to be technically its own vault. So that increases composability in Vaults V3.
So what's the advantage of that compared to V2?
So the advantage is time to market. And also there are some other advancements with like abstracting away some complexities of like accounting. And, you know, we ran a hackathon. I was hoping that Vaults V3 would be like extremely simple and that people could make their own vaults like super easily. But to be honest, you still need to be a like top shelf developer to make sure that the yield farms that you're creating are secure and are not going to get hacked, and that strategies are like high quality. So we ran a hackathon along with Polygon to kick off Vaults V3, and we had 8 teams participating, and 3 of those teams were very experienced builders and made like really good strategies, and I hope that we can work with those people long term. But you know, I wish things were more simple, but they're not still. And we need to make sure that things are going to be really secure. So for that reason, like, we're still only doing strategy creation in-house. So, you know, maybe things will be really super simple, Vaults V4 or V5, but today we have made improvements internally for our own, like, go-to-market speed and safety. But, you know, those advancements from 2 to 3 are not going to be noticeable for people who are not like very experienced developers.
Okay, so the strategy development is in-house. So it's like not possible for me to like just write a strategy and be like, hey, you know, I built this strategy. It's cool. You know, will you use it?
It definitely is possible for people to do that. And we encourage people to do that. I mean, that is how we came across the person who, so back in 2022, there was one person leading the charge for developing Vaults V3. He went on to another opportunity, which I fully understand. And we picked up another person who literally came to us with exactly what you just said. He had been working on a vault and a strategy of his own. And we were like blown away by the complexity of the strategy and the structure of it and how secure it was. And we were like, did you work for Yearn before? Like, who are you? Because he's just some like cartoon character that came across on Telegram. And he ended up like being really, really good, and we brought him on board. So yeah, it could definitely happen again. Needs to be a good fit. It needs to be you know, a person who stands out, their work stands out, and yeah, it could definitely happen again.
Yeah, that was something that excited me when I got started. I wanted to be a strategist, you know, because I saw that, you know, oh, you can write strategies and then, you know, you can earn a share of the income. So I can build, you know, my little DeFi empire, and I can have like, you know, billions in TVL, and I'll, you know, I'll earn a percentage of that. So that was a really fun start.
One of the things I forgot to mention about V3 is that we have a new fee structure. So like you were just saying, back in V2, the goal was to have all these external people building these strategies and vaults and charging their own, like getting a part of the fees on their own. And we didn't have like the quality of submissions coming in, so we couldn't do it. So we had to make it all in-house. In Vaults V3, we made the fee structure default the fees to 0. So you have to go and enable a fee. So if you are a creator who happens to be, you know, talented enough to get one of these off the ground, you can charge your own fees, charge a management fee, charge a performance fee. And, you know, we did that for the purpose of commoditizing this technology. We want everyone who needs to build a vault, who needs vault technology, we want them to build on Vaults V3. You don't even have to charge a fee. You can just use the technology for free, use it in your own way. So that was the goal of that.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool part of DeFi. I don't know, you know, in traditional finance, you wouldn't be able to like go to some bank and be like, hey, you know, I got this money making strategy. Like, do you want to use it? You know, you can pay me. I mean, that would never work.
They might give you a loan, but they sure wouldn't incorporate you into the business. No.
That would be funny if they did. But yeah, I mean, that's really possible in DeFi, and that really like blew my mind when I saw it. I was like, wow, this is so cool.
So let me get back to Juiced Vaults, because Juiced is built on Yearn Vaults V3. It is a multi-strategy V3 allocator vault. So if you go to like juice.urine.fi, there's a couple of vaults on there right now. There's a WEF one, there's a DAI one, there's a MATIC one. And the WEF one and the DAI one, basically users deposit that asset, the WEF or the DAI, and they're farming the Ajna token, the Ajna token incentives.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And they can either compound that, so we dump it and we compound it to the underlying.
It's really high yield as well for some of these.
Yeah, well, it was back when it first started. Not so much anymore. It's kind of like flattened out.
But I think it's pretty good for USDC getting more than 40%. It's pretty crazy.
Is it right now? No way.
Yeah.
On the extra.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
You're underselling yourself here, Korn.
Yeah, let's fill that one up.
Crazy yield opportunities right here.
So what we're doing with the assets that are deposited into that V3 allocator vault is we are sending it to seed liquidity for different Ajna markets. So there's like a staked YETH pair on there. There's a YCRV pair. There's like a whole bunch of other Urine Vault tokens and other assets that we are seeding with that. And this is the first time that we've made a vault that is not liquid all the time, because in the past, of our strategies have been always liquid all the time, have been able to take like giant deposits without slippage. Like that, those are the prerequisites that we've made for our previous vault strategies. But in this one, if you go to make a withdraw, there's a chance that your money is loaned out onto Ajna already. So that is what you need to be aware of when you're using this like next generation of V3 products. Like that could be the case.
Yeah, we've seen this problem as well in our vaults, that there's a lot of like good yield opportunities, but you might not be like 100% liquid all the time. So it's kind of like a difficult balance of keeping enough liquidity but also earning good yield for the users. So I mean, if you don't have good yield, then why would anyone use it? But then they want to be liquid all the time as well. So I think people they want all the good things at the same time, so it can be hard to explain to the user like, oh, actually your funds are not liquid right now, so you can just withdraw like a smaller amount. It's pretty common.
Yeah.
So for Ajna, it's a pretty interesting protocol, right? It's it doesn't need an oracle, am I right?
Yes, it does not need an oracle. So that's what kind of stood out, at least for me at first, because when I first heard about it, I was trying to get YETH, our basket of LSTs, to be used as collateral, and I was talking to the oracle companies and they're like, you need to meet these volume prerequisites per month, or like per week for 3 months. And they're pretty high.
Yeah, it can be really crazy. It's really difficult to achieve for a new token.
Yeah, very difficult to achieve. You have to have a lot of liquidity in different places to increase volume. And, fragmenting liquidity is not always the best thing for a new product, or not possible for a new product with resources. So, I think Ajna has a great chance of being a good fit for long tail assets for that reason.
And there's a lot of those. It's like most of the coins are probably in that category, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I see a lot of like growth opportunity for solutions that don't require an oracle, just for that reason that most tokens cannot really get an oracle. At least like a quality oracle. If you want a good oracle, then you have to have an established token, and then most tokens don't belong to that category. So it's a huge market.
Yeah. And I think the lending market in general, there are so many different projects out there, and they saw Juiced like Morpho Blue or Euler, they all are coming out or have already a permissionless isolated lending product. either like standalone or attached to their core lending product, like that's more similar to like pooled assets like Aave has. And I know that they also want to use Juiced Vaults, and we're slowly working our way toward that goal. We should have some developments on Arbitrum in the future, but you know, even more importantly, I'd love to get something going with like Granary V2 if it's a good fit in the future. So I know that product is being developed right now.
Yeah, it's I guess in the final stages of getting audited. It's been I mean, it's like a new protocol, and if you're building like an innovative new protocol, then the auditing process is quite intense, and it takes a long time to develop something new in DeFi. So it's been a long time coming, but I think the audit is going well. So I think it should be ready soon.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, and we gotta build some urine strategies for it.
Yeah, I mean, it will be a very cool protocol. Like, I think it's really innovative. It's adding a lot of things. Like, we've taken, I mean, we've been running money markets for a long time now with Granary, so we actually have a lot of experience. And out of that, you know, we've been growing this protocol. So I think it's actually gonna change a lot, like in the money market space. So I'm really excited to see it coming out. It'll be cool.
The thing about Juiced is it's all about incentives, and there's no shortage of incentives in DeFi these days.
Yeah.
So I just applied for the Arbitrum long-term incentive pilot program. I think Yearn should have done like a much bigger push to be involved in Arbitrum like a year ago or more. And I feel like we missed out on some of those other incentives programs they had in the past. But I'm glad I applied to this one. It's the pilot program is only for 12 weeks. So if we get the Arbitrum incentives, we will dedicate half of those to incentivizing lending liquidity through Juiced on Arbitrum.
All right. Okay. That's really good that you'll keep it juiced up.
Yep. And we also came out with a second version of Juiced. If you go to juiced.app, this is more of a like a project level self-service version of Juiced. So we did a pilot program with a few LSTs on there. There's like Redacted's yield-bearing version of their LST called APX ETH, and then there's F of X's X ETH is on there also. And basically what they're doing is depositing incentives. There's a weekly epic. It goes Thursday to Thursday, and you can deposit as a user. You can go on to juiced.app and deposit WETH, and you can farm those incentives that we have matched one-to-one in USD value with the Ajna token. So like right now, Redacted is contributing like $4,500 a week in incentives. We match it, and they have almost $2 million of lending liquidity that we funnel into their Ajna APX ETH vault. So that's like a project level way of taking in incentives through Juiced. It's another proof of concept we've been doing.
Well, there's a lot of good yield opportunities out now. I think the market is going really crazy. It's you know, you're getting like 20-30% on ETH in a lot of places. It's really cool to see this.
The results from our proof of concept on juiced.yearn.fi, which is the WETH and the DAI vault, for every $30,000 a week of incentives, we've been able to get about $10 million of lending liquidity. So that's the result of that proof of concept.
Wow, that's really insane.
Crazy. Yeah, I think DeFi is a lot about the incentives and I mean, when I started, it was like, you know, oh, farm on Yearn, and you know, you'd get all these weird tokens like cucumber token, or I don't know.
sushi. What was that one? Shrimp. There were like a bunch of them.
Yeah,
Pickle Finance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun to see things heating up again.
You know, Larry the Cucumber from Pickle, he's still around. He's working at Reserve now.
Oh, really?
Okay. Do you remember do you remember Saddle Finance?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually worked on their code base for a while.
So, DevOps fan, you remember him?
No, not really.
So he was I think he might have been the founder or just a core developer there, but he's back, and he has a project called Cove, and he is building on Yearn Vaults V3. He's building the first automated yield seeker. So like you have a die vault and it has a bunch of different strategies. He's working with Gauntlet. It's Gauntlet and Cove. They're working together to make a vault that automatically like seeks out the best yield and does that change, does the math behind the change, and then makes the change without like squishing the yield, and like it does it in an optimal way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
I've actually worked on that. It's like one of my interests is like yield optimization algorithms. So, I built, you know, like off-chain infrastructure that would like deposit in different tarot pools, and then it would have to, you know, take into account like if I move the funds here, then is it going to reduce the yield, and then try to like calculate, you know, the best average position. It gets really complicated, but it's a lot of fun to make it as well. And I think DeFi it's a really good place to do this, because, you know, you can run simulations and you can see like, oh, what would happen, you know, if we did this combination. So it's really just about like crunching the numbers in an efficient way. And I think a lot of that stuff, it wouldn't be possible in any other system. So I kind of feel like that should be where like DeFi is headed. Like maybe it's even AI that's running these automated strategies, and it's just like finding opportunities. So maybe it will just be like AI using DeFi, and then, you know, we'll just tell the AI like, oh, you know, make more of this token for me. And it will just like flow the funds everywhere. I don't think we're that far away from it. But I think, you know, these kinds of products will probably be very big.
That is an incredible, it's such a complex issue, like not,
yeah,
like doing those calculations. And there's another company called Upshot. And Upshot is the AI part of what you were just describing. And they are also trying to work with Gauntlet and Cove on building this stuff on Vaults V3 right now.
Oh, wow, dude. This is some alpha we're getting.
Yep. Yeah, dude, Upshot.
Here's some more. There's another project built on top of Yearn V3 called Sturdy Finance. And what Sam at Sturdy is doing is using BitTensor to go and seek out the best yield opportunities at the time. I cannot even describe like what BitTensor does aside from like crowdsourcing the calculations of moving yield around, but Sam at Sturdy is building that right now on Vaults V3 also.
Wow, it's kind of a difficult problem, I think, because you also have to take other considerations like what's the sustainability of the yield, and also what's the risk profile. And I think that those are maybe more difficult to calculate, like, you know, what's the risk of, you know, moving the funds here. Like maybe you can see like, oh, this is the yield that I'm getting on chain, but then it's more difficult to say what the risk is like in the long term. But yep. I guess they're working on all those things. Maybe
and you have to especially if you're going to introduce like a cross chain strategy too. Like calculate the gas also, like going from mainnet to like a cheap environment. Like there's so many variables. I can't
The bridging risks and different blockchains have different risks.
we still like Yearn internal strategists still are in the position that we are not building cross-chain strategies at all. We still think it's too risky. So
yeah, it's definitely appealing because, you know, you see this, like, it's definitely an opportunity to do it, but it's kind of difficult to do it in, like, without taking too much risk or having unknown risk. But it's definitely heading there. I think, you know, that's probably the future of yield optimization. It's like some kind of AI moving across different chains and just taking care of everything.
We're still early.
yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's very early, actually. And I mean, the total DeFi market is not very big compared to traditional finance. When I think, you know, we really have like superior technology. It's not mature technology. So I don't think, you know, the big finance companies want to put like, you know, hundreds of trillions or whatever. But it's getting there. And I think it's not really that far away. And it could be, you know, quite soon.
Interesting. What do you think will take us, what it'll take to get us there, Ulver? More maturity in the tech, more security. I feel like, you know, even the guys at Yearn don't want to go cross-chain with their strategies. So we've got a big gap, I think, to cover still.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, general maturity of the technology. And also, it needs to be battle-tested. Like, even if it's good right now, then it still needs to be, like, proven. Like, it needs to be proven to be safe for longer periods of time. But I think, you know, there's going to be like incrementally more capital allocated in DeFi. I mean, I do think that security is like a big problem. There has been a lot of hacks and a lot of people losing a lot of money. So I think there's a big problem with the industry, but I think it's going to mature and we're going to have, you know, more established security practices. And, you know, everything is kind of like up in the air. We're innovating and just like rebuilding and just like, oh, you know, new stuff all the time. So it's kind of like in that explosion, you know, gold mine rush kind of era. But I think that out of that is going to emerge like some kind of standardized, tested framework. And it's going to be standardized and, you know, we're creating the ERC-4626 standard for yield-bearing vaults. And I think it's going to be incrementally like standardized. And it's going to be like, oh, this is how we do things. It's going to just be like a standard practice. And then over time, it's just going to build more and more trust when we see that, oh, actually, this is safe. And it's actually going to get better returns on your money. And then over time, it's just going to shift over. But it's going to be like a long process, I guess.
Mm. There's also the user experience part of that.
Oh, yeah. That's huge.
I think like that is finally changing slowly. There's a new wallet from Coinbase. Sammy and Andrew at Coinbase were telling me about it. And actually, Luke Youngblood at Moomo was showing me in the same day. It's called Smart Wallet. It's only on Base Testnet right now, but no private keys. And it enables people to use their phones and like delivering a great mobile experience in crypto, like putting money into Coinbase and then interacting with DeFi apps.
Yeah, I think the current wallet experience is really like way too complicated for all, you know, almost everyone. It's just, you know, us crypto nerds with our private keys and stuff. And yeah. I mean, that's also why we're building our Moon wallet. It's also, you don't need a private key. It's like hardware level encryption. So the keys are stored securely for you. And then you don't need to like mess with private keys. So it's very easy to use.
Is that available right now?
Yeah, there are some projects using it already.
Moon wallet.
Yeah. think right now, I don't think it's like got a retail like interface. The last I talked to them, it's like they've got this SDK ready. It's for incorporating on like a page. But Yeah, I think the wallet thing is kind of taken off. Wallets have improved quite significantly. Even like just like Rabby is a massive improvement over MetaMask or
my wallet,
you know, Mew or whatever it was that I first generated off of.
Oh, my Ether wallet.
Yeah.
I have one of their T-shirts somewhere.
Their original Mewing, you know.
Yeah,
dude. But don't you guys think we'd be unfairly depriving people of the emotional roller coaster of, you know, losing a private key and then finding it? And like, oh wow, I just found like $2,000 in the bottom of my sock drawer. You know,
like find your old computer like in the basement and it's like, oh, it has Bitcoin.
Yeah.
trying to execute a transaction on your hardware wallet that keeps failing and you're like, do I need to update my Ledger? Do I need to update my Chrome browser? Do I need to update my Windows?
Yeah. Giving people the true technologist's experience, you know, having to decipher the tech stack. Yeah, man. I think it's really exciting. I think, you know, things have really picked up in the market today. I don't know how, it's impossible to predict how long this momentum will carry on. But things definitely seem to be looking a little brighter here in crypto. What is the next step for Yearn? Like, what are you guys kind of eyeing next? What's next on the horizon, dude?
Well,
we
will continue to support those organizations, like building on top of Yearn Vaults V3. We think that they are going to do the best job delivering a good customer and user experience, and Yearn will continue to be a framework organization, like building down in the technology stack. I think at the same time, Yearn will also continue to develop structured products. I think we had good product market fit with our V-Curve wrapper YCRV and with YETH and YPrisma as well. So the YLockers team is going to be continuing to develop those products too. So frameworks, structured products, audits, and anything else creative. So I know we've gotten some like kind of heat on Twitter from being like too marketing heavy, but you know, our mantra these days is why not just do it all?
I like it, dude. I like it. Yeah, you guys are all up and down the stack. You got the anime girls, you got the juice. I dig it. I like
people love the juice site. I really like it too. Big and bright.
Dude, I'm like obsessed with it. I love that color scheme. I like you just don't see it. A lot of the times in crypto, you see a lot of the same bland, like well, I don't know. It crypto is so varied. You see crazy stuff too, but a lot of the bigger players are got the very like glassy look, glassy, metal, dark, you know, if you want to seem like super. I love that the juice really leans into the energy of it, you know.
It stands out.
We got lucky in the bear market picking up Draper, the person who's leading the charge with Mom. He is a very experienced like award-winning advertising executive in the real world who has represented a number of global brands for many years, and he's a real professional. We're lucky to have him.
That's awesome. And his name is Draper, like Don Draper.
Yeah, and like John M. Don Draper. Yep.
He's living up to the name. Awesome. Definitely. Man. Very cool. We're approaching the hour mark here, so any final words from you guys? Any final topics we want to touch on here?
I've had a great chat with you guys this morning. Really, thank you for inviting me.
It was a pleasure. Cool. It was really great to meet you and chat with you, man. Fun to pick your brain.
Yeah, really cool to see what Yearn is doing. I mean, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. I mean, I've been following Yearn for a long time, but I didn't know this latest stuff, so it's really cool.
We have some new channels in our Discord. If you go into the Yearn Discord, there is a YLockers channel. There is a YPools channel. So these teams who are focused on structured products and developing like specific things in their niche, you can go in there and talk to the people on the team working on the products. So
Awesome. Definitely something I know Ulver's going to be up to. I know Ulver's going to be jumping in there. I'm game too. So, guys, I guess our call to action here for Yearn is, what's the top thing you want people to do, Korn? Let's push them to it.
Get juiced. I want everyone to just listen to this podcast and know that it's not all about just our single side deposit USDC and DAI vaults, and like, it's not just about our involvement in the Curve Wars. We're doing a lot of other stuff these days, getting involved with like different lending markets and stable products, and I think Yearn is going to have a good 2024.
I'm confident it is after this talk. Well, thanks again, Korn, so much. I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you again, Ulver. This was a really fun episode for me. I got to learn a lot. I got to sit and listen, and I loved it. So we'll catch you guys next time. Oh, thank you to the audience as well. Most important of all, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for retweeting and liking the stream and the video. And we'll see you again next week, I believe. We have another show, so...
Stick a really exciting show, so stick around for it.
Yeah. All right. Adios, everybody.
See you later.
Adios. Bye. See you later.